Hey, people, this is episode 195. I'm going to title it, I am almost positive, solo insurance or solo coverage insurance or something of that nature, because it is just me. Right at the very beginning, I explained that I really wanted to get an episode out since we're having a hard time getting together because people are out of town. I'm leaving town, things of that nature. So it's about The Witcher. It's about Flossing into Flex. It's about Ricky Gervais. It's about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So please just listen. It's very short, under 30 minutes. That's all I needed. So listen, enjoy, comment, rate, follow, whatever that takes, all that good stuff. Just after the bomb, listen to the episode. Here comes the bomb. By myself. This episode 195 is kind of an insurance policy. I'm going to try to record an episode. Let me start out over. No Bender, no Tom, no Flop. Flop's working right now. Bender and Tom are working as well. And I leave town Sunday for a full week for work. So I needed to get an episode out. So that's why I called this an insurance policy. And we're still going to try to record one on Saturday. But I don't know that Tom or Bender can make it. I even reached out to a friend of the show, Nerdcast Jay, and he says he's recording his podcast, but I think it's just blowing me off because when do they ever release that podcast? So just a little shout at Jay. But anyway, it is just me, I think, for the fourth time ever. And I'm going to try to get through this as quick as I can. I mean, usually when I do these, they go around 30 minutes. But there was some things I want to talk about. Mainly to start, I'll just start right now, The Witcher. And I know I'm the only one that has actually watched it so far on our podcast. The Flop didn't even watch it in background. I think what would keep her from enjoying it, and that would be the timeline, which we're going to get into here in a moment. And she has a very solid rule on X amount of geekery in her life. Like, so when we were on Game of Thrones, she wouldn't do anything else. Luckily, Game of Thrones ended and we found The Boys, and The Boys ended. So maybe I could have got her in on The Witcher, but I don't know that The Witcher was quite as serious enough of a show for her. Now that said, I've heard from everyone I've read so many critics and everyone say that the show was so silly, it's what made it good, or it's so bad, it's what's made it good. I don't think that was the intent of the show. I think the show takes itself very seriously, and it just so happens to be kind of schlocky in parts and still kind of a good show. So let's get into it. What is The Witcher? For those that haven't watched it, because I'll be honest with you, I never played the games, never read the comic books, never read any of the books, but I may check them out. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the world setting enough that I may check them out. But essentially what the show is on Netflix is a story of three characters, and that would be Geralt of Rivia, which is the long white wig-wearing legendary white wolf or mutant played by Henry Cavill. He's a witcher. He is a guy that goes around and hunts down demonic things, and which is weird. I'd have to learn more about him, because apparently the Witcher's part of the Witcher's thing to be a Witcher is you leave emotions off the table, which we'll get into in a minute with him. And you just do your job, and your job is killing evil monsters in the world. But he seems to be just a gun for hire. He's not so much as monsters as he is just whoever pays him. Now, he only goes after monsters, and he says he won't get involved in squabbles with war and of, you know, rivaling human factions and things. But it's not very noble to only kill for money. I mean, if you come across something that's bad, you should just kill it. But he seems to want to just find somebody to pay him to kill it. Still, interesting enough character, played very serious by Henry Cavill. And you know, good enough. I know there's going to be a season two. In fact, they've talked about seven seasons, but you forget that he was a failed Superman, which I don't even think that he was a failed Superman. I think he was a good Superman in some failed movies, but the wig that he wears, the white wig that he wears, which you can't tell it's a wig. They do a very good job with it. The still photos that you saw before the show came out, I was really worried. But no, he looks off. He plays a part well. He's a viable paladin, barbarian type of sword guy with some magic. I mean, I enjoyed him. But that said, he was one of the three main characters. The other character would be the her real life name is Anya Charlotta. Charlotra sounds good. Super hot. Her name on the show was Yennefer. And for a while, I thought it was like the Nordic or the Yiddish Jennifer. But no, it's spelled with a Y. It's Yennefer. She has a pretty interesting, probably the most interesting story arc of any of the characters on it. She is a sorceress or a witch or whatever they call her. A mage. She's a mage. A female mage. And she goes for, I mean, her, not spoiling anything, but her character's arc goes from sympathetic, kind of disfigured character to a smoking hot, leaning towards evil and personal needs and personal gains to a last hope for the good guys. I mean, it's a very fun arc of hers. Probably my most favorite character in the show. And then after that, it's Ciri, which is a young girl played by Freya Allen, which is already a pretty fantasy-based name. So perfect casting. Her story is a good amount of where the confusion for the timeline that I'm going to get into in a little bit comes into play. But she essentially is a key figure because of something called a gift of surprise or a proclamation of surprise or something. You'll have to watch a show or read about it. I had to read about it after. She is bound to the Witcher, and he is bound to her, and destiny's a big deal. You don't fuck with destiny in this show. So that is essentially, and a war around her kingdom when she goes on the run is kind of what kicks off the story. So that's the main story. There is also a fourth character, which gets a lot of hate on here, and he's not really a main character, but he's played by Joey Batty or Bate. And it's a bard who is responsible for the song in the show, Toss a Coin to the Witcher, which has seen a lot of metal covers and acoustic covers and some things. And his character is named Jaskier. Maybe that's it. He acts as the Witcher's only real friend. Which is why I like him. I mean, I understand why he gets a lot of hate, because he's kind of annoying. His songs kind of suck, except for Toss a Coin to the Witcher. He's constantly fibbing in the songs, which bards were, tend to do back in the day. But he also, the Witcher clearly has emotions. Geralt clearly has emotions. He's got emotions towards Yennefer, which, spoiler, but that's an uneasy friendship, because sometimes she's out for her own good, sometimes she's out to help him. And then Geralt's emotions towards the bard, which are probably the most articulated in the show. He feels bad when he's mean to him, and when he is upset, which he's not supposed to be upset, when he is upset, he lashes out at his bard, or at the bard, because it's the closest person to him. So, you hurt the ones you love, and I think, I don't know if they accidentally do it, but that's what they kind of accomplish in the show. That said, back to the timeline. The timeline is a problem in the show. It's the biggest problem the show has. I didn't even realize until episode 4 that there was a big timeline shift and that they were using kind of a broken non-lateral storytelling device. That was their plot device. Apparently, they're going to say in season 2 that's not going to happen. But really, the show takes place over 50 years, and Netflix released a very good... When I got done watching it, I Googled to try to find everybody's explanation of how the show's timeline takes place. But Netflix, I guess, seeing some of the confusion, they released a little pictograph on how it happens. And it makes it a lot of sense. But and once you watch the show in total, you'll understand. But there's no indication during the show that there is a broken timeline. None whatsoever. You have these three essentially separate stories going on at once, so you think, but they're not really going on at once. They're actually going on over the course of 50 years between, so really when Geralt's story starts, Ciri's not even born yet, but by the end of it, that's the most important part of the story. So, you just got to check it out. You got to hang with it. You got to stick it out to watch it, because there is some fun things to it. My brain on a 5-point scale really wanted to give it a three out of five, just a show worth watching. Nothing worth all the hype, worth the most downloaded or most streamed show on TV, beating out The Mandalorian. It certainly wasn't as good as The Mandalorian. But I'm going to give it a four because that's what my heart wants to say. And the reason I'm giving it a four because I think this is the closest thing to a serious attempt at D&D that we've ever seen. Now, there is a show that my buddy AC author, Aaron Conaway, pointed out to me that is was Kickstarter, crowdfunded, and it's on Amazon Prime. Gosh, I wish I could remember the name of it right now. And it's, I think, six episodes, all an hour and a half. And it's a serious attempt, but it's also a very low schlocky budget. That's the second time I've used the word schlocky before to this episode, so I'm done with it. But the Witcher clearly has a big budget. I mean, yes, the dragon in it is a little wonky looking. It's certainly not got Game of Thrones money, HBO money behind it, but that may change because it's popular. It was a success for what a show is intended to do, and that's bring viewers. And the difference between it and Game of Thrones is Game of Thrones is this military and political intrigue story that's very broad, very sweeping. And while there is this broad war going on in The Witcher, it still manages to focus on one to two characters that is in very much mission style, like a scenario or like a session of D&D. And that's what I liked about it. The monsters were good. Geralt's got powers, and you see them from time to time. They don't really explain them. And I take it from some of the flashbacks that we will see, you know, what makes a Witcher a Witcher. We're told that 7 out of every 10 boys at Rivia, where he went, 7 out of every 10 boys died during the trials. So there's not a lot of Witchers. In fact, in the show, you see two, and one dies, and Geralt has to come clean that mess up. So I suggest watching the show if you like swords, fantasy, things like that. If you liked Game of Thrones, even give it a chance. If you like what Netflix does and you're not really a fantasy genre specific fan and you just like Stranger Things and things like that from Netflix, I don't know that it's going to be your cup of tea. Oh, I will say this. Like they said, they're going to try to fix the timeline. The other thing, if it's your cup of tea, that you'll dig is the boobage. There's a lot of boobage. Yennefer, like I said, is very smoking hot, and she gets naked, and after she hots herself up, well, actually, even before she hots herself up, which you'll have to watch the show to understand what I mean, she gets naked a lot. There's illusions of lots of naked people. There's all kinds of weird things that go on in the show involving nudity, and to be honest with you, that's really what started the Game of Thrones talk, was incest, nudity, and oh, by the way, this is a pretty complex story, so let's give it a go. So I hope it improves from here, but even if it doesn't, I'm in, because it's a fun ride for what it is. Like I said, even though I don't think they intended it to be so slapsticky or so goofy fun, I think they are very much trying to make a serious show, but it's a good show. It's one I like. So The Witcher, Season 1 on Netflix, I believe 8 episodes. Check it out. I suggest waiting till it's over to Google the timeline or look up the timeline, because you might spoil some things for you, but worth it. Once you get the timeline and you can, that makes a lot more sense. So before I go to the next thing, I just want to say maybe an indicator that we're going to go out, I'm going to do a solo episode, a one-man show, is seeing the Flossin' and Deflex guy, the guy that I talked about last time. I was sitting at a Burger King with my daughter coming back from a soccer practice, and in front of me, Flossin' and Deflex, his little neon light going by, changing speed, doing a lot of different things with it, his little LED sign. And I apologize for not getting the name of it, but now he's advertising his wife's custom reclaimed furniture business, custom furniture business on there. So he's branching out. Also, I believe he was there doing a DoorDash. So he really has he's got his hands in a lot of buckets. He's a private limo driver or private car service. He's a public car service, Lyft and Uber. He's a drunk car service, and he's now talking to, he's a DoorDash, and now he's his wife's pitch man. So again, he doesn't listen to the episode. I don't even know that he knows we were talking about him, but I see him out there. He's getting publicity for me. Flossin' in Deflex, all one word. You can find that guy, and no G, Flossin'. you know, FLOSSINDAFLEX, Flossin Indaflex. So you can find him, text him if you need a ride. I have no idea if he's worth taking or not, but I like his gumption. I like his ambition, so give him a go. The other big thing this week that was in the world that I wanted to at least hit on, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but the Golden Globes are this week. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because, you know, we had a funny moment where Tom aggressively told Missy that he chose his movies because of the Golden Globes. They were all nominated. And the Golden Globes is, you know, a lot of people are look at it as the little brother to the Oscars, but it's kind of a better, more entertaining show. And I think this year and the last year, I think 3 years, this is the third year, I think Ricky Gervais is a big reason for it. But Ricky Gervais, knowing that this was going to be his last year, he burned the place down on his way out. Had some funny Epstein jokes and some Weinstein jokes that people, really non-Hollywood people, tend to laugh at. But the things that I wanted to talk about is, you see a lot of people on the Facebooks and the Twitter and some comedians and everybody, they're like, hey, way to stick it to Hollywood. Hollywood needs to be knocked down a peg or two. Hollywood knew this stuff was happening and stuff. Which is all accurate, all true. But I think if you're going to start proclaiming your hate for Hollywood and way to stick it to Hollywood, then you probably should stop watching TV, paying for Netflix, going to the movies and all that stuff. I find it a little silly that people are out there like, you know, Hollywood turned a blind eye, therefore they deserve to be punished too. Again, probably accurate, but when you say that and you tune into the Golden Globes or you go watch the new Star Wars movie in the theater, you're kind of fueling the machine and it keeps the clock keep on turning and propels it forward. So it doesn't matter what you say, it's what your actions are. Ricky Gervais apparently just doesn't care. His actions showed that he just didn't give a shit. Took his money, burned that place down, said he's not doing it anymore. So more power to him. It was funny. I enjoyed his comparison to Bird Box to Weinstein about Hollywood not watching. And then when everybody booed or kind of made a gasp, he said, oh, fuck you. You worked with him, not me. And then Epstein, he said, hey, he was your friend too. So funny stuff. The wife and I, one other thing I wanted to talk about before I get off of here. The wife and I, we watched this past over the course of the New Year's. We watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Finally, the ninth film from Quentin Tarantino. If you don't know, it's based on the Manson family murders and Sharon Tate, Robert Polanski. And it's got a couple of fictitious characters, which is what Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt's character is. It's also got Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate. Just so you know, too, there's also Dakota Fanning, Luke Perry, so shed a tear there, Al Pacino, Emile Hirsch, Timothy Olyphant, Bruce Dern. There's another super hot chick in it, other than super hot Margot Robbie, and her name is Margaret Qualley. She was in The Nice Guys and then HBO's The Leftovers, and she's a part of Manson's group. And this is kind of Brad Pitt did with Inglourious, or sorry, Quentin Tarantino did with Inglourious Bastards. It's an alternative history, alternative version of how the Manson family murders end. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the ending is pretty awesome. That said, the star of the show is Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is unbelievable. This is the second time working with Tarantino. First, Inglourious Bastards as Lieutenant Captain Aldo Rain. I think he was Lieutenant Captain. But, And Leo and Margot Robbie do a great job in this. Margot Robbie probably has the smallest part, but still, you know, important part. Leo has clearly the next most screen time because most of the time him and Brad Pitt are together on the screen. But Brad Pitt steals the show with his kind of a disgraced stuntman in Hollywood. This isn't a ruin in it for you, but there's a rumor that he murdered his wife, which he may have. He's kind of if you read some of the history of what Tarantino was thinking, he's kind of a combination of Billy Jack, which was a 70 cheesy 70s action or maybe even 60s action guy, kind of like a martial arts truck driver, kind of a weird movie, but entertaining. One of the funniest things about Billy Jack is when he tells a guy in a movie, I'm going to take this foot right here and kick you on that side of the face, and then he does it, knocks the guy out. combination of Billy Jack and judo. Gosh darn, what's his name? Jean LaBelle. He made Brad Pitt's character to be the baddest man on the planet, which is evident in the movie as it goes on. There is going to be a longer cut of the movie next year, apparently, an over almost 4-hour cut, kind of like Hateful Eight and whatnot, which I hope includes more Manson time, because you don't really see Charles Manson, but they have an actor playing Charles Manson. You only see him a couple of times. And it's not, he really doesn't have any lines. He's got one line in the whole movie. And he's alluded to, you see all of his Manson people, but sorry, I overall, this is a layup 5 out of 5 for me. It's a hard 5 out of 5. This movie, like, I don't know that Tarantino's ever made anything that I've gave a 4, less than a 4 out of 5 to. Most of them are 4.5, but this is a 5 out of 5. I was thinking about putting down my ranking of, I'm going to call it, 9 movies. I can't remember. I think I call Kill Bill one movie, and I think it should be one movie in terms of talking about it. I think had it been made after Inglourious Basterds or Hateful Eight, he probably would have just made one movie, because it's, those were super long. And but I think at the top of the list is this, Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill. Grindhouse is the very bottom, and I know that's just a feature of a movie, but he did direct and write it, and it was, I think it's included in his timeline. And then above that is Jackie Brown. Still both good movies. Still both enjoyable. But those are the bottom two for me. And then there's a whole bunch of them in the middle. Not a turd in the bunch. Like I said, all 4.5 are fives. Maybe we'll do a good, I think we've teased this before, we'll do a Quentin Tarantino ranking. And we'll discuss the merits of each one and pros and cons. Because, I mean, he's in my opinion, again, this is just my opinion, he's easily having the best directorial career of anybody not named. Maybe he's having the best ever, but he's not Spielberg, and he's not Scorsese, and he's not Francis Ford Coppola, or, you know, all these guys that kind of make a lot of good movies, but also have some, not turds, but less acclaimed. Tarantino's just gotten better every time he's come out in terms of his critical reception. And I mean, to start with Reservoir Dogs and go to Inglourious Basterds, even if he doesn't make another, I mean, not Inglourious Basterds, Once Upon a Time, even if he doesn't make another movie, it's fine. His legacy is unbelievable, and he could, he could make a cartoon, and I'm going to go watch it. And I guess I'm told he's pitched his Star Trek. The script is done. It's a hard R. And he's not done a sci-fi movie yet. And he definitely is a fan of the 60s. So let's see his cheesy sci-fi version, R-rated sci-fi version. I'm in, man. I just will be interested in seeing what he does with the music, considering he always does, some old school Motown and funkier stuff. So we'll see what he does. But I'm in. So. Other than that, I don't know. I'll just go ahead and throw it to Missy. And since there's no Missy or the boys, I'll just, quick hits. I know we're trying to get together with Matt. I told Matt F. Basler that I am going to do a show no matter what when I get back from being out of town. I'm going to try to at least bring one guy with me. And I told him that's one more guy than has ever been on Shane's podcast from the PC Bombcast. So he'll be the winner. And we have episode 200 looming still. We're now 5 away, so that's going to be in 2 months, and we hope to do something super fun for that, maybe a couple episodes that week. And the only other thing I had was I opened my new, about 2-3 weeks ago, I found a bottle of Abraxas and bought it. They're not that hard to find right now, but still a limited run. And a lot of people told me, and if you don't know, Abraxas is a very awesome beer from Perennial. I look forward to it every year, and this year I was told that it's too cinnamony, that's a hard word to say, too much cinnamon, and maybe not as good. All that's BS. It's still 4.5, I think, is what I give it out of 5. That's a very high-rated beer, in my opinion. Very good. I drank my 1750 of it last night, felt slightly buzzed and slightly happy, and had a full stomach of a great beer. So don't be assholes, people. I think the longer something goes, the more inclined people are to hate on it. I mean, Star Wars, for example, even though Last Jedi truly deserves all the hate. But yeah, just this is like Abraxas's 4th, 5th year, something like that. It's layup awesome every time I try it. So I have nothing else. That's the end of the episode. Again, like I said, this was kind of an episode to just make sure we get some content out this week. I would love to hear what people think about The Witcher, what people think about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and if you end up giving a ride to the Flossin' and the Flex, or from the Flossin' and the Flex guy, I'd love to hear that. Doggies came downstairs. That means it's time to wrap this up and go get me some lunch, and hopefully we get an episode recorded Saturday, and I'll also release it Saturday into Sunday because I've got to get it released before I leave town. And yeah, so no one here to say bye but me, so I'm going to play the music. Thank you.